Hi, everybody. I'm John Torrance. Welcome to our podcast channel. I know that you will be blessed by today's message.
All right, Ephesians 3 and 20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more. How much more? That's five of you on this side. How about on this side? How much more? Everybody now, how much more? That is our so much more in 2024 theme. He will achieve infinitely more, three things, than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dreams, and exceed even your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. Hallelujah. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Father, as we come to your word this morning, once again, I thank you that you and your word are one, that you said heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never, ever, ever, never will your word pass away. And I thank you that we want to build our lives as we come into 2024. We want to build our lives on the foundation of your word, my God. We want to build our lives on the solidity and certainty of your word this morning. And I thank you that as your word comes to us, that once again it locates us, it finds us, and whatever the greatest need in our lives is right now, your word has the power to release, to deliver, to meet that need, to heal, to supply, to restore, to recover, to do whatever is necessary in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So family, it's amazing as you look at this verse, amazing how it begins with the words, never doubt God. Never doubt God. Would you look at somebody and tell them, never ever, never ever doubt God. Hallelujah. We are so quick in this day and age that when things don't go wrong, we want to doubt God. We want to doubt his ability. We want to doubt his word, doubt the fact that he's a miracle working God. Doubt his ability to love the unlovable. Doubt his ability to reach the unreachable. Doubt his ability to forgive. How many of you believe in the power of forgiveness? Doubt even his ability to have the power to save somebody. Praise God. But I have learned in life to doubt my doubts, but never to doubt God and his word. Can I get an amen? Now, let me just clarify, that does not mean that we will never experience doubts, okay? That does not mean, it does not mean that you will never experience doubt. If you're really honest and true with yourself, then you will admit that there are times where you have doubted. Can anybody want to have the courage to put your hand up? Both my hands are up this morning. Praise God. There have been many a times when this building burnt down and we were driving out of here. I did not have the faith. I did not have the foresight. I did not have the whatever else you want to call it to see that we would build another building. And you've heard me say this as we drove away with Pastor Fred. I said, Pastor Fred, now what? What do we do now? What do we do now? And he looked at me without even battering an eyelid, and he said, we'll just build another church, just like that. We'll just build another church. Boom, boom. I'm like, okay, sure. I mean, there was doubt floating in my heart and all of that. But you know what? We all have thoughts that come to us, all of us. And some of them are good thoughts, and some of them are bad thoughts. All the time, we are continually bombarded with these thoughts, whether they are, some of them are subliminal thoughts, messages, you know, watching something on TV, and then somewhere in there, there's another overriding, all of that kind of stuff. There's audible, inaudible messages. But all of those have to come by or through the means of our minds. And if that is the case, then I'm here to tell you that you have not committed the unpardonable case because some thoughts of doubt entered your mind. And here's what I've learned in my faith walk with the Lord. Here's what I've learned. God doesn't expect us to never experience doubt. That doesn't sound like very much faith right there, right? I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, God, John, are you actually preaching the gospel here this morning? But I'm here to tell you something that's real and true and honest. If you would be true and honest with yourself, I'm here to tell you God doesn't expect us to never experience doubt. Because if you're living in a real world and you're really honest with yourself, you'll agree with me, all right? Lift up your hands and say this after me. God doesn't expect me to never experience doubt. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that the thoughts of doubt may come to you, but it's what you do with those thoughts of doubt that really matter. Because the birds of the air fly over and they nest in some tree, in the branches of that tree. That's how it is. But we don't have to allow those thoughts to nest and to settle and to stay in our mind. It's what we do with those thoughts once they enter our minds. Because if we don't deal with those thoughts of doubt and they enter into our heart, that is where the problem lies. Because doubt in the heart produces unbelief. Say that after me. Doubt in my heart produces unbelief. So we'll have thoughts of doubt that will come to your mind. There are such thoughts. I mean, that's how it is. We are spirit, soul, and body, and the realm of the soul is where your intellect is. We have mental capacity and mental ability, and thoughts come. But the birds of those thoughts, being doubt, we don't have to allow them to rest and settle in the branches of our mind, because if we do, they will soon settle in our hearts, and doubt that is now in your heart has the power to produce unbelief. Look at what James said in James 1 and 6. He said, but let him ask in faith. Let her ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or that woman suppose that he or she will receive anything from the Lord. So notice James is saying that if you have a need and there is lack, you come to God in faith. And where is your faith located, family? Is it in your mind? Do we have mental faith? Or is it a heart faith? It's a heart faith. So he's saying when you come to God and you have faith in your heart, but there is doubt, because now that doubt has gone from your mind into your heart and it is fighting against faith. It is trying to produce unbelief in you. He says, with no doubting, for he who doubts, if you come in faith and there is unbelief and doubt in your heart, you will be like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, unbelief is the opposite of faith. And doubt that produces unbelief will cause you and I to be like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds of life. That whatever 2024 is gonna throw at you, if you have not dealt with doubt in your mind, and you have allowed that doubt to now settle in your heart, and it's producing and manufacturing unbelief, then whatever 2024 blows, whatever storms, whatever disasters, whatever tragedies, whatever crises 2024 is going to bring, you are going to be like that person that is driven and tossed around by the circumstances of this life. And that's what he says, the doubt that produces unbelief. And depending on the circumstances and how your emotions play out, is how you will respond. But I've come to learn, and I think you've come to learn as well, family, that faith is not an emotional response. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? In fact, let me go on to say that our faith is never proven by our emotions, but rather it is proven by our actions. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, my faith is never proven by my emotions, but my actions. Hallelujah. That's why you've often heard us say that faith is actually a verb or a doing word. A verb is a word of action. It's a doing word. And so faith is actually something that we ought to action in our lives. Faith is when I take a hold of God's word and I'm holding on to every promise that I possibly can lay a hold of, despite what my mind is telling me, despite what others are saying about me, even when I don't understand it and I cannot comprehend it, or even if I cannot see how God, my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Rapha, my El Gibor, my El Shaddai, even if I cannot see how He will deliver me from that moment and cause His word to come to pass in my life, I have to lay a hold of that word and hold on to it with all that I've got until I see that word come to pass in my life. Can I get an amen? So your faith is actually proven not by your emotions, not by how emotional you can be, but by your actions. And I think that there's far too many emotional believers that are like the wind of the sea, driven and tossed. They're up one day and down the other, and then they're offended about this and upset about the other. Listen to what Jesus had to say after He spoke the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. And verse 1, it says that He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, a woman, and she came to Him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And He would not for a while. But afterward He said within Himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, not giving up, she will weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man returns, will He really find faith on the earth? It's quite amazing that He ends that parable with that question. He said, when I come back, and we know that Jesus is coming back, right? Right? Amen. We don't know the exact time, but we know that He's coming back, hallelujah. And He said, when He comes back, will He really find faith on the earth? And why is faith so important? And I've said this before, but let me lay a foundation. Hebrews 11 and 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the medium that we work with, working with God, that brings pleasure to God. We worship by faith. We sing by faith. We give by faith. We love by faith. We forgive by faith. Everything we do by faith. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible. Impossible means impossible. That without faith, we cannot please God. And then not only that, but if you look at Romans 14 and 23, the last part of that says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So if we are not doing stuff that comes, that is from a spirit of faith, the Bible says that is of sin. Hallelujah. So we have to stay in that place of faith. And why is it? Because God cannot work with a faithless people. Can I get a better amen than that? God simply cannot work with a faithless people. God works through the medium of faith to build His church, to establish and advance His kingdom on the earth. And that's the reason why the devil will fight you tooth and nail to try and rob and get the and steal the word, the seed of God's word away from you so that he can rob you of your faith. Because if you take a hold of the seed of God's word and you meditate on it and you pray over it and you stay with it, that word eventually becomes flesh and blood on the inside of your spirit man. And in that place, the God kind of faith is manufactured. Hallelujah. And now you are a faithful person. By that I mean you are full of faith. And you don't need a whole lot of faith. Jesus explained that to his disciples. He said you really don't need a whole lot of faith to accomplish much in the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen or something in this place? Hallelujah. So he will steal your faith to render you and I faithless and powerless and ineffectual. Ineffectual. God does not work with faithless people. Can I get an amen? Now, not only that, but why is faith so important? Because of this verse that we're reading. And Paul begins it by saying, never doubt God. Never doubt God about what? About God's ability. Hallelujah. About his ability. Never doubt God and his ability to work his power in and through your life. If we're going to reap so much more in 2024, we are going to have to never doubt God and his ability, his mighty power to work in you and I to accomplish all that he promises in Ephesians 3 and 20. Can you lift your hands and say, I will never doubt God? Say it like you have a bit of faith. I will never doubt God and his ability of his mighty power to work in my life. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let other people tell you you're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You're not whatever they want to say. That is their opinion. Your job in 2024 is to lay a hold of the word of God, because there's going to be some pretty strong winds that are going to come our way. And we're going to have to be anchored in the word and stable in the word and steadfast in the word and be a people of the word, because that word in the heart produces faith. And if you have got faith, then the possibility of you doubting God is very small. And you have all the more reason to receive all that God has for him to accomplish by the working of his mighty power in your life. Can I get an amen? And what is all this mighty power to do what? That he will achieve infinitely more. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Hallelujah. Say this after me. I will never doubt God and the ability of his mighty power to work in me. He will achieve infinitely more than my greatest request, my most unbelievable dream, and exceed my wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly, on a day-to-day, daily basis, energizes me. And I'll say that to you this morning because, like I said before, 2024 is going to throw a whole lot of stuff at you. And let me be the first to forewarn you. Now, you know me. I'm not a doom and gloom guy, those of you that know me. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. And I understand that right from the word go, Genesis 3 and 15, that there was enmity between the serpent and the woman and between the serpent's seed and the seed of the woman. We know that. There is enmity between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. But I want to tell you that sin is rampant and it is loose over the entire earth. It is loose over the entire. Those of you that are looking to immigrate to New Zealand, I've got bad news. Sin is running rampant down there as well. Those of you that want to go to Canada, let me just tell you, sin is rampant there as well. Every part of this whole wide world, sin is running loose and is rampant. People without God and without Christ, I want to tell you, will be at their worst. They will be at their worst. But that shouldn't come as a surprise, because that's what sin does. A fallen nature. You are going to see depravity like we've never seen. Man without God will be at his lowest point. And that's because the devil has his agenda and his schedule. But I'm here to tell you, so too does God. Can I get an amen? I'm just telling you, don't be alarmed when you see depravity of all kinds and wickedness and the darkness that is going to be out there and all of that being magnified. Don't be alarmed. The devil's got his schedule, but so too does God. And he's still on the throne. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He overcame the powers of darkness and completely, completely, completely thrashed the devil and all of his cohorts when he rose on the third day. Then he ascended on high and sat at the right hand of the Father. And I'm here to tell you, family, he is still large and in charge. He is still the commander in chief. He is still ruling and reigning the whole earth. And he's coming back again someday for a glorious church. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. He's not coming back for a weak church. Get that out of your mind. He's not coming back for us four and no more. Get that out of your mind. People saying, just a remnant, a remnant. I hear this remnant thing. Remnant, remnant. What? So like, it's like an exclusive little remnant club? 400? You know, 300? What are we talking about? 144,000? A remnant? Just a remnant? Just a remnant? Really? Is that all that the cross could do, is gather a remnant? Is that all that the blood of Jesus could gather, a remnant of people? No, I want to tell you, if you are hanging on and about to backslide, go ahead and backslide and then get saved properly this time, the second time around. Get saved properly. Hallelujah. Come on. I didn't get saved because I was scared to go to hell. I got saved because I had a revelation of the love of God, of this amazing love that he had for me, that I knew deep down I wasn't worthy of it. I didn't deserve it. And yet he overwhelmed me by his incredible love. I had an encounter with Jesus. I did not have an encounter with the devil and hell. And then fear caused me to come to the front and weep like this. But I wasn't really crying. I do that because years ago when I got saved, there was a guy that would come down. Every altar call would come down. We were still in the Embassy Theater, and he would come down to the front, and he'd go like this, and then his head would bob up and down. And the first time I saw it, I said, oh, Lord, you're dealing with that man's shame. He's weeping. He's weeping. God, he's weeping. Look at him. He's trembling all over. And then he would look like this to see if anybody's looking. No, no tears. I got saved because I had a revelation of the love of Jesus. So don't tell me I'm hanging on, Pastor, with the skin of my teeth. Go ahead and backslide, and then we'll get you resaved, get you properly sanctified, get you properly delivered, get you properly filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, get you properly grounded in the Word and not in some hocus-pocus philosophy. Can I get an amen in this place? Because Jesus is coming back for a victorious, glorious church. A multitude of people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, all ethnicities, all cultures, tribes, and tongues. People who are overcomers, people who are victorious and triumphant. And the people of God said, and if there's anything we have to do, as we get ready to step into 2024, is we're going to have to strengthen each other's faith. Would you look at somebody, look at them in the eye and say, I'll strengthen your faith if you can strengthen my faith. Come on. Come on, I'll strengthen your faith if you can strengthen my faith. That's what we are going to have. One of the things, if we want to see the fulfillment of Ephesians 3 and 20 and so much more in 2024, Paul says, never doubt God. I'm going to have to instill faith on the inside of you, encourage you, exhort you with faith, and you are going to do that for me as well. We're not going to strengthen each other in our doubts and in our unbelief and in how this is too long and that's too short and the government here and the local authorities here and this is bad and that's worse. We are not going to strengthen each other in gossiping and scandalizing in the name of Jesus. Not if we want so much more in 2024. We're going to strengthen each other in our faith. And the only way to build up each other is by laying a hold of God's word and speaking it and decreeing it and declaring it and praying over it and meditating over it. And when you've done that, you've got to lay a hold of it again the next day, because the temptation will be there for you to hear what he is saying and she is saying and the economists are saying and CNN is saying and Al Jazeera is saying, but we've got to get a hold of God's word and find out what he is saying and fuel our hearts with faith, because that is what we're going to need to see so much more in 2024. Stand up to your feet. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and say these words after me. I am a faith person. No, say it like you have a bit of faith this morning. I am a faith person that has a faith covenant with a faith God. I will never doubt God and the ability of His mighty power, of His mighty power, of His mighty power to work in me. He will achieve infinitely more than my greatest request, my most unbelievable dream, and exceed my wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly, 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 constantly. January, constantly. February, constantly. July, constantly. November, throughout 2024. Constantly, His power constantly energizes me. In Jesus' name, I believe it, I receive it. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's come to us this morning. Thank you that already there's been a preparation in our hearts. With just a few hours left before we transition from 2023 to 2024. And we're so excited because we know that the same faith and grace that enables us to apprehend all that you do for us, all that you have for us, is the same faith and grace that will carry us through all the chaos and the disarray, through all that 2024 may throw at us, and we are ready and positioned and prepared. We're not going to be taken by surprise, Lord. We're not going to be taken by surprise. No, 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 no. And we will never doubt you. Never doubt you. Yes, we can doubt governments and doubt presidents and doubt politicians and doubt what the doctors have said and doubt what the economists have said, but we will never ever, never ever, never ever, never ever will we doubt you and your word. And I pray, God, let this word reverberate as we get ready for tonight and what you'd like to do tonight, my God. Prepare us. Today, as we spend time with the family, prepare us. Cause this word to drop root down in our hearts, God. Hey, that we are a faith people that have a faith covenant with a faith God, my God, my God, my God. I thank you for the spirit of faith that has risen in the hearts of men and women here today, God. You said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I declare every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl a faith person. We are a household of faith. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. And I bless every person here today in Jesus' name.
We trust you enjoyed this message. To stay connected to Durban Christian Center, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and download our DCC Church app. Hop onto our website for any information you might need about the Durban Christian Center. If you are in Durban, South Africa, we would absolutely love for you to join us at our Sunday morning services at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can find us at 39 Garth Road, Mabel. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.